And the clock is already ticking. All right, so we are in the This Is Us series, as you all know. We're essentially going through the principles of what we believe it means to be a disciple. There are five principles that we believe as a church essentially shapes. Are you okay? Oh, good stuff, good stuff. I was just wondering if you guys are doing stuff different nowadays. Going loony since I've left. Alrighty. There are five principles that we believe essentially is what it means to be a disciple. You guys know what it is. The first one is being. And being is all about being in a relationship with Jesus. It's all about being rooted and grounded in God's love for us. As we look at what it means to be a disciple, it's not about ticking the being box and moving on to everything else. But being is the foundation that everything else lives out of. It's about being rooted. The next one we spoke about was forgiveness. And we believe firmly here at the cross that real forgiveness stems out of a place where we understand the forgiveness we have received from Jesus for ourselves, right? It is when we receive His forgiveness in our lives that we can actually start to live a life where we forgive others. The next one was serving. We are called to serve, and we see that example in Jesus' life. He came as a servant, and we will find joy in serving. Last week we looked at giving, and we spoke about a whole bunch of things, and then today, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to our final fifth principle, and that is
going.
And I am going to be going a lot today. So our fifth principle is going. And when we speak about going this morning, what we are speaking about is sharing the gospel. What we are speaking about is sharing the gospel. Jesus gives us a commission as His disciples, and He says, you need to go and share the gospel throughout all the world to every living creature, right? And what can be more simple than living a life where you're simply telling people about the exciting thing that Jesus has done in your life, right? There can be nothing more simple, yet what we have found is this is the step that people struggle with the most, believe it or not. People struggle tremendously when it comes to actually sharing their faith. And I believe this morning that one of the reasons we struggle so much to share our faith is because of fear. We have all kinds of fears and all kinds of misperceptions connected to what it looks like and to what it means to share our faith with others. So what I would like to do this morning is the following. We are going to look at one of the greatest evangelists of all time, ladies and gentlemen. And as we look at their story, I believe that some of those fears and some of those misconceptions are going to be taken away this morning in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Hallelujah. So the word is going to do its job today. Come with me to John chapter 4, verse 7. And I'm going to read quite a lot of scripture here this morning right at the top. But I really believe that this is going to set you free. This is one of my favorite stories. And it's John chapter 4, verse 7 to 26. And it says this. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob?" "Absolutely I am." "Who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also the sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, I love Jesus. I love how he moves. Listen to this. "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water over and over again." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands and the man you are now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus said, replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is of the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. And this is an amazing piece of scripture where Jesus meets this woman at the well, and it's in this interaction that he reveals to her that he is the promise. He is the King of Kings. He is the Messiah. He is the one that comes to quench the thirst that no relationship can quench, that no drug can fix, that no outward experience can fix. He comes and he says, I am the one that meets every single need, even the needs that you never thought could be met in your life. It is at this moment at the well where we see this woman desperate in her need, desperate in her longing for something more, for something deeper, for something that goes beyond just what she can see, smell, and touch. It's in this moment at the well where Jesus comes and he reveals himself to her. And it's this amazing moment where essentially the well for me is the representation of her desperation. It is the representation of her need. It is the representation of all the things in her life that is lacking. And it is in that place. It is in that place of need. It is in that place of desperation. It is in that place of feeling lost where the Messiah comes and he steps right into her world. And he becomes the light in the darkness. He becomes the answer to the question. He becomes heavenly manna that she can feast from. He becomes living water that quenches the thirst. It's this amazing moment where this woman experiences redemption, where she experiences Christ for herself. Now, check this out. When I said I wanted to show you the greatest evangelism, one of the greatest evangelists of all times, you thought I was speaking about Jesus, and that would have been correct, but I want to show you what happens next. This woman encounters Christ at the well, and then look at what happens. John 4, verses 28 to 30. This is remarkable. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards Jesus. Look at what happens here in John 4, 39 to 42. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed two more days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the savior of the world. But there is a moment in the story where the Bible says that many come out of the city. Many came out of the city and they believed in who Jesus was because of this woman's testimony. Because of the Samaritan woman who encountered Christ at the well, because of her, many came to believe in who the Messiah was. And this morning what I would like to do is this. I would like to take a little look at the Samaritan woman, and I want to look at what she did. How did this lady turn an entire city upside down? How did she do it? And I believe that as we look at her, and as we look at what she did, and as we look at what she didn't do, it'll help to set you free in some of these areas that you've been struggling with. My prayer is that she will help you today to break free from some of the fears and some of the concerns you've had when it comes to sharing your faith. So, couple of things we need to do this morning. I'm going to ask and answer a couple of questions about the story. So just stick with me. The first question that I had when I read this was, who is this lady? Who is this woman? Right? We read here that she encounters Jesus at the well. We then see that out of this experience with Jesus, she goes into a city or into a town, and an entire town is flipped upside down because of who this woman is and because of her testimony. So the question for me has to be then, who is she and where does she come from? So I think I can help answer that question this morning by maybe looking at what she wasn't. Shall we do that for a minute? So let's do that. First thing that is blatantly obvious if we look at the story is the following. She was in fact a woman. She was not a man. And this is what I'm saying through this. She was living during a time where the culture absolutely was not conducive for women to have great influence or for women to really have a voice. When we look at this lady today in the story, I want to tell you that we are not looking at a person that had great influence. We are not looking at a person that had a big stage or that had a big voice. We're looking at a completely average, everyday person just like you and me. As a matter of fact, I'll say this to you. Actually, we are living in a time now where we have more influence, I believe, than at any other time in human history. Every single one of us have a voice because of social media. Every single one of us. We all have a voice. We all have a platform. And one of the things that I've seen in my life is sometimes people are hesitant to share their faith because they have this belief that they have to be people of influence. They have to be people that have a platform. They have to be people of prominence before anybody would take them seriously. This woman was not an important person. She was not a person of influence, yet she turned an entire city upside down. Next thing, what wasn't she? She was not a Jew, ladies and gentlemen. She was a Samaritan. And because she was not a Jew, that meant that she kind of had an idea of theologically what was going on, but by no stretch of the imagination were we dealing with a professor or a theologian. She was not a Levite. She was not a Pharisee. Again, she was an ordinary person. So what was she not? She was not a person of great knowledge. She did not have the answer to every question. Man, I think that this is one of the things that holds us back the most when it comes to sharing our faith, is we feel like we will only be ready to share our faith when we have the answer to every single question that ever might come our way. I want to tell you this morning that what makes you an effective witness is not your ability to answer every question. And what's amazing to me is we are a culture, ladies and gentlemen, of people that love giving our opinion on things that we don't know much about. As a matter of fact, we're experts at giving our opinion in things we know nothing about. So what's amazing is I have daily conversations with people that don't really know what's going on. And what then happens is when it comes to our faith and sharing our faith, we go, well, I need to have every answer to every question before I can do that. No, you don't. Just be yourself and know nothing and talk all the time. You'll be fine. Next thing about this lady that we know is this. She was not a perfect person. She did not have it all together. Okay. She was not the shining example of what a perfect Christian should look like. She had issues in her life. She had broken relationship after broken relationship after broken relationship. She was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Yet we see this woman turning a city upside down. God is not looking for perfect people to share the gospel. He's looking for people that are willing to simply tell their story. And I want to tell you this morning that it is amazing, and I think it's one of the things that holds us back. We struggle with this. We tell ourselves that, man, I don't want to put myself out there unless I'm at a place where I am perfect. If you wait for the day to be perfect, to put yourself out there, you will be in the cupboard for a very long time, okay? Are you with me? Last but not least, this morning, she was not a lifelong Christian before she started sharing her story. She was not a lifelong Christian before she started sharing her story. I love how this woman encounters Christ, and the very next thing she does is she goes and she shares her story. Man, she doesn't wait to go to Bible college. She doesn't wait to go through launch first. She doesn't wait for next Sunday. Oh no. Not dissing launch. Good Lord. Love launch. Okay. She encounters Christ at the well, and the next thing you know, she is off like a shot, and she is sharing her story. So here's my question then this morning. If you don't need to be a perfect person, if you don't need to have all the answers to all the questions in the world, if you don't need to be a lifelong Christian, if you don't need to be a person with a laundry list of qualifications to share your story, then what do you need to be? And the answer is very simple this morning. You need to be someone that has encountered Christ at the well. You need to be someone that encountered Jesus in your greatest moment of pain and in your greatest moment of need. I want to tell you this morning that if you're sitting in this building and the Messiah has rescued you from all of your sins, from all of your misconceptions, if the Messiah has set you free, then you are absolutely qualified to share the good news of the gospel to whoever would want to hear it. I want to tell you this morning that I am looking at a room full of town changers, city shakers, history makers. If the disciple has, if Jesus has encountered you at the well, you are qualified this morning. You are empowered this morning. You are capable this morning of sharing the good news of Jesus and seeing many lives transformed. So here's the deal. If it wasn't who she was, then maybe it was her strategy, right? Maybe she had an amazing strategy. I remember years ago when I was in South Africa, we had a team of people from the US come over and teach us how to evangelize. It was a 2-day seminar series on what to say and how to do it and where to go. And it was professional and it had PowerPoints and it was amazing. And there were snacks at one point. It was great. I think I even got a goodie bag. It was amazing. Right. So what did she do? What was her strategy? What did this lady do? Let's take a look here quickly. The Bible says that she leaves the water jar behind and she goes to the city that she just came from. What a strategy. Wow. How did she come up with that all by herself? She leaves the water jar behind, which is so significant. It just tells a story of her leaving her old life behind, leaving the old needs behind, leaving the old brokenness behind. She leaves the fear and the confusion behind, and then she goes right back to where she came from. She goes back to the town where she was living. She goes back to the city where her everyday life was taking place. Listen, I feel sometimes like when it comes to sharing our story and sharing the gospel, we want to make it so complicated. We want to do all kinds of things, but I want to tell you right now this morning that all over the place we have people waiting at the well. All over the place. They're in Publix. They're at Walmart. Goodness, they're at Walmart. Fewer of them at Target. Does anybody else just ever go walk around Target? What a wonderful place. But they're everywhere. And let me say this to you. As a guy that has traveled around the world, as a guy that's moved a couple of times, man, I've made a couple of moves across the globe, and you know what I've come to the conclusion of? There are lost and hurting and broken people everywhere. They're living on your street, ladies and gentlemen. So we do not need to go far in order to find people that are in need. There are people at the well all over the place. And this lady leaves the water jar at the well and she goes back to the town where she had lived. She just plugs right back into normal life. A couple of things that she says that just absolutely is fantastic. And I want to break it down for us this morning. But the first thing she says is, come and see. Come and see. She makes an invitation. She goes to these men and she goes to these women and she goes to these people in this town and she says simply this, come and see. And what she does is she invites people on a journey to discover the freedom that she had discovered herself. I want to say this to you, and we need to understand this and we need to realize this. God has not called us to be the moral police of the world. He has called us to be tour guides, ladies and gentlemen. He has toured us to find the lost and the hurting and the broken and to say to them, He has changed my life. I am inviting you on a journey with me. Come with me. Come and see. Come and experience that which I have experienced in my own life. Nothing could be simpler. Nothing could be more easy. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're sitting here and you're going, well, she had the opportunity of taking people to Jesus. I mean, how great was that? If Jesus was sitting here, I would take people to him too. I mean, that's easy. Here's the deal. He is represented here today in the church. He's here. He moves. He breathes. He walks. We are the arms, the legs. We are the voice this morning. We are the church, and it is in the church that people can come and experience the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus. Listen, I want to encourage you this morning. There's nothing easier in the world to go to people and to say, come and see. Come with me to church. And come and experience the gospel. Come and experience worship. Come and experience what it looks like to see one person love another person selflessly. Come and experience our community. I remember years ago in South Africa, I invited a friend of mine to church, and we were in a very big church, and the pastor did very well for himself. It was a very charismatic church that I was in. And there were sort of rumors about the fact that the church was just into money. So skeptics on the outside would always look at the church and go, this church is just about money. But I knew my friend needed to come to church. I knew he needed to experience the gospel. So I dragged him to church with me the one day, and he kept on making jokes about, so are they going to ask me to pay an entrance fee when we get there? And I was like, no, but there might be one when you go to hell. Anyways, no, I'm just kidding. Did not say that. But anyways, I bring this guy to church. We sit down, and it was the weirdest thing ever. But we had this big, promotional thing. The pastor had written a whole series of books, and they did this thing where they were going to do this big promotion thing. And they thought it would be a good idea to do this live stage thing. It was the worst thing ever, where a guy was walking down the street and the voice of God spoke to him going, hey, Johnny, what you need is Pastor Ray's book. Go purchase it right now. My buddy looks at me, he goes, good job, pal. Like, this is exactly what I thought it would be. I was like, oh, Lord, just help me with this a little bit. You know what I mean? But here's what I want to say to you. We are committed at this church to never do weird things and to never put you... All right, let's move on. Let's move on. That was like when I was trying to tell my wife something. She just goes, yeah, I know you too well. Come and see. Invite people to experience what this is. I tell you what, man, you're going to see amazing things happening. I promise you. You're going to see the hardest people you can imagine actually be interested in coming with you. And when the Holy Spirit starts to work in their life, you're going to see walls crumbling down. It's an amazing thing to witness. Next thing that she does is this. She says this, come and see. And then she goes on to say, come and see a man that told me everything that I ever did. And what I love about this is I love how in this moment, she doesn't try to make it this big theological thing. She doesn't try to make it this big fat debate about a whole bunch of stuff. She simply says to the people, come and see the man that changed my life. And I want to say to you this morning that we can have a lot of arguments with people about a lot of things. We can talk about Genesis. We can talk about Revelations. We can talk about a bunch of things. But here's what nobody can argue you on. That is your experience with Christ. They cannot argue that. They cannot take that away because it's your experience. And I want to tell you this morning that there is power in your story. Man, I love how in the Gospels, whenever Jesus speaks, whenever Jesus shares, one of the things that stands out is that it always says, the Bible says that people were astonished at the fact that he could speak with such authority. Jesus spoke with authority. I want to tell you this. Nobody knows your story better than you do. Nobody can share your story with more authority than you can. And it is a powerful tool that we have. You do not need to be the world's greatest theologian to know your story and to invite people on a journey where you simply tell them about the life change you've experienced in your own life. Your story is powerful, and your story has the ability to change people's lives. Listen to this, Revelations 12 verses 11. They triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. The Bible tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our stories are powerful. Our stories are liberating. And if we're sitting in this room today, if we've experienced Christ at the well, every single one of us have a story of liberty, a story of freedom, a story of redemption. I want to encourage you today, and I want to tell you today that your story is powerful, and your story has the ability to reach people that my story will never be able to reach. There are people sitting, waiting by the well. They are one come and see away from their lives being changed forever. And as we go, as we meet them where they're at, as we share our stories, we will see people truly being set free. Why did she do it? Is the last thing I was thinking through. We've spoken about what she said. We've spoken about who she was. But the big question this morning is, why did she do it? Isn't it interesting that at no point in the story does Jesus command her to go and share her faith? As a matter of fact, he doesn't say much about it. She goes and she shares her story because she is absolutely bursting. She can't wait to get the good news out. I believe this morning that when she goes, she does not share her story out of compulsion, but she shares her story out of compassion. Because she realizes, man, that if other people can just get one little glimpse of what this man has done in my life, their lives will be changed forever. And I cannot wait another minute. I cannot wait another second. I've got to go and I've got to share my story with the world so that the world can be changed. I think one of the reasons we struggle to share our testimonies is I think we're concerned about the results. I believe with all of my heart that we are so tuned in and we are so dialed into the end result of what might or might not happen if we put ourselves out there that it makes us afraid. It makes us scared to share our testimonies. I want to tell you this morning that your responsibility is to share your story. God's responsibility is to change theirs. If you do the speaking, he will do the reaching. Amen. How was that for a little poem? There we go. Right? The Holy Spirit is the witness. And man, I don't think always we allow or give enough credit to the Holy Spirit. It is when we put ourselves in those situations where we're not sure what to say, when we're not sure what to do, where we will see the Holy Spirit come and do amazing things. Man, it's amazing for me how as a generation we want to see signs, we want to see wonders, we want to see God move. Let me say this to you. When you put yourself out there, you're going to see him move in a powerful way because the Holy Spirit's job is to point people to Christ. But from time to time, he just needs a mouthpiece. He just needs somebody that will be willing to go and say, come and see, come and experience. Let me tell you about this Jesus that has changed my life. And you will see as you do that, you will see the Holy Spirit fill your mouth with words. And he will start to speak and he will start to lead and he will start to direct. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not our responsibility to save people. That is only Jesus can do that. Yes. He's the only one that can save, that can rescue, that can set free. But it is our responsibility to go and share of the good news of the gospel. Amen. And I want to tell you this morning that as you do that, you're going to see him move in a powerful way. Listen to this in Luke. Luke 12, verses 11 to 12. It says, when you are brought before synagogues, and the band could come up. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. And I know that this is talking about persecution, but I firmly believe with all of my heart that if we put ourselves in the positions where we simply open up our mouths and share our stories, the Holy Spirit will move on our behalf and he will place words in our mouth. I was, I think, 20 years old at the time, back home, and I'll close with this story. And what happened was, is our church had an amazing program where we would actually go do house visitations for everybody that visited the church, right? A little bit spooky, but that's what we used to do. So if you visited the church, I would be at your door on a Thursday night going, surprise, here I am. So good to see that you came to church. And it was my first time ever that I had to do one of the follow-ups, and I was supposed to see this guy, and we went into this neighborhood, and I knocked on the door, and I was petrified. I was 20 years old. You think I'm confused now. You should have seen me when I was 20. I didn't know what was up and what was down, right? I was the most confused guy ever. So I knock on the door. This guy opens up and, I walk into the house and it's carnage. I've never seen anything like it. There was like 30 people in this house. And what the situation was, it was a bunch of foreigners from all over Africa, people living in different rooms. So this one big house had been rented out by a whole bunch of different families and everybody was just in different rooms. And I mean, it felt like a carnival atmosphere when you walked in there. And I was like, I'm looking for Joey, looking for Joey. And everybody's like, "Ah, Joey, where's Joey?" Okay. So finally we find the dude and I'm like, "Hey, can we just sit in the living room, like courtyard area in the house here? I just want to share my story." And man, I start bumbling through my story. I don't even know what I'm saying, but I start sharing with this guy. And the longer I speak, the more people just start coming out of their rooms. One by one, people start coming out of their rooms. People start sitting down. People just start sitting and listening and sitting and listening. And by the time we got to the end of the evening, when I finally said to this man, "Listen, I want to pray with you. I want you to receive Jesus. Will you pray with me? Can I pray with you?" I had about 20 people in that living room on that evening raise their hands and say, "I want you to pray for me to receive Christ in my life." I thought it was going to be a one-on-one tea party. It turned into a Billy Graham crusade. Hallelujah. Man, I want to tell you, just make yourself available. Just make yourself available. Just make yourself available. Just make yourself available. Just put yourself out there and see the God of the universe use ordinary people that don't have the answers, that aren't perfect, to do amazing things in His name. Come, let's stand in this place today. Father, I want to thank You right now for who You are, Lord. I want to thank You for Your Holy Spirit in this place. Father, this morning as we come together, as we worship You, as we pray, Father, I want to thank You right now for Your tangible presence in this place, Lord. Lord, will You come and set us on fire in this place, Lord? Give us a heart for those that are lost, Lord. Give us a passion, Father. I thank You, Lord, that Your words are on our lips, and broken people, we can see them, we can find them, Lord, and help us to share the good news, Father. So this morning, Lord, as we worship, as we just focus our attention on You, I thank You, Lord, that You will start to bring to our minds, even right now, this morning, people that need You, people in our lives that need to hear our stories, Father. So this morning, Father, I pray that You will start to just show us who needs You. Empower us. Make us bold, Holy Spirit. Thank You for who You are, Lord.